Hey, colleagues, welcome back to the office. It's Steve, and welcome to our 24th episode of the CPE Today podcast. Can you imagine? We've done 24 of these, 24 hours of education, 24 hours of training, all around helping promote technology and efficiency and effectiveness within your practice and within your life. And for our 24th episode today, we've got a treat especial for you, which is our second installment in our Power BI series. Power BI is a tool from Microsoft, which is a fantastic resource for leveraging your data effectively, learning essentially how to take your spreadsheet data, your database data, your whatever data from the web, data from whatever you might happen to be, and being able to process it into something that is meaningful: charts, graphs, maps, and more. So in today's episode, we are going to be specifically diving into data import techniques, as well as different ways that we can write formulas using DAX, data analysis expressions, into making our data useful. So if you happen to see somebody joining me today, we have a treat as well. Our head of accounts retrievable, Winston the Pooh, is here with us. So he might pop in from time to time. He's here for quality assurance. So maybe leave a review or a comment so that I don't get in trouble with the head of our accounts retrievable. Okay, so in today's class, we are going to go ahead and first take a look at importing data into Power BI. What we're going to be looking at is some different methods of essentially importing data in from static resources. Static resources, for example, are files, you know, specific files, not a database. You know, for example, it would be Excel files, CSV files, CSV standing for comma separated values, tab files, and more. We'll also look at what it looks like, for example, to import in dynamic sources, such as databases. Databases come in so many different flavors, such as MySQL, MSSQL, and others. And often when we're working with Power BI, this is going to be what we're going to be using most often. And what's beautiful about this tool is that Power BI doesn't really care what resource you're using or what database it is. If you're using SAP, great, continue to use SAP. You're using Oracle, great. If you're using MySQL, MSSQL, Postgres, whatever, Power BI will work with it. Using a tool called Power Query, we can essentially connect to just about anything, import that data in, and make it useful. Additionally, Power BI also gives us the ability to connect to a variety of online data sources. There are a number of content packs from major providers like QuickBooks and others, certainly a number of the Microsoft resources, including Dynamics and other aspects of 365 are available, where with essentially one click, we can import that data into Power BI to make it useful and effective for our processing. Additionally, we can also just import data directly from the web as well, which is quite useful for trying to get to some sort of web-based resource. Now, we can also, and I'll show you here, opportunities where you might want to use manual data entry inside of Power BI. Truthfully, those opportunities are far and in between, in my opinion. Manual data entry in Power BI is at best kludgy and cumbersome, but generally, you're always going to want to be importing your data in. But if you need to, for example, put in some data to create a KPI, or you need to put in a threshold for a gauge chart or something like that, you can manually put data into Power BI to make that useful. And there are a couple of limited examples of where you might want to use this. And I just mostly want to make you familiar with how to do it. Now, the second half of our presentation is going to be focused around what's called DAX, or data analysis expressions. DAX is a formula language, and it's the way that we manipulate data inside of Power BI. And this language is also shared with Microsoft Excel. If you're familiar with the Power Pivot functionality of Excel, it's the same thing. DAX is the formula language that we use when we're working with data inside of a data model in the Microsoft ecosystem. Okay, so it's very similar to the existing formula language that we would use inside of Excel. But the big difference is that when we write a DAX expression, we're writing something that's going to apply to the entire column or data set that we're working with. So it's much closer aligned to how we would write SQL functions and SQL formulas, SQL being structured query language. If you're not familiar with SQL, definitely check out our first episode of our data course, where we go into different types of databases. And we talk a little bit about what SQL is. And if you have some familiarity with databases and SQL, DAX won't be as rough of a transition. I find that this is where I typically lose people, and we're going to introduce this topic into today's podcast, but I fully intend on, over the course of the next several years, going through almost function by function and really kind of talking about the different ways that you would want to use DAX. So we'll talk more about that, what that is and why you would want to use it, but it's really kind of not optional. DAX is the necessary framework for writing formulas inside of Power BI. And inside of that, we're going to use that to create what are called calculated measures and calculated columns. Calculated measures essentially do a calculation across the entire data set and give you a single figure, and a calculated column in turn will create a calculation, but it does it at every row. And there's different reasons why you might want to use one over the other. So that's what we're going to attempt to go through today. It's mostly going to be a hands-on day where we are going to mostly be working in the application itself, but we do got a little bit of PowerPoint mostly just to set the conversation and kind of guide us through our presentation for today. Now, before we begin, I do want to remind you that if you are a financial professional, you can earn CPE credit for watching or listening to today's podcast. It's super simple. After watching or listening, head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code PBI2, take a short 5-question quiz, and you will earn a credit for today's class. It's super simple, and this is a great way to stay on top of your continuing education. I myself am having to renew my license here in the next month or so. Here in the beautiful state of California. And you know what? It's amazing how much the education can just sneak up on you. And you just look around and it's like, holy smokes, a year or 2 years have gone by and I need another 80 credits. Well, guess what? If you're listening to podcasts, and I'm guessing you do, this is a great way that you can stay on top of that education by doing something that you are already doing. This is a fast, affordable, and easy approach. And it's just something that maybe you might want to check out. And if not, that's okay too. Hopefully you enjoy the material either way. But if you'd like a credit for today's class, check out cpetoday.com, use course code PBI2, and you can earn a credit for today's class. Alrighty, let's go ahead and get into it here. And we are going to go ahead and start with talking about getting our data into Power BI. And there are really kind of two major methods of getting data into Power BI. And then we've got some different specific things that we should be aware of for the different types of data that we're going to be working with. Now, the primary method that we're going to work with is the Get Data button right there on the home tab. We're going to go take a look at that here in a minute. Within Power BI, we can connect to a bunch of different types of things. Static stuff, for example, a Excel file, a CSV file, a tab file, whatever it might be. Dynamic stuff, which would be either hosted on our computer or on a cloud server or on a network location somewhere inside of our organization. And that's typically going to be our databases in whatever form that might be. MySQL, MS SQL, Oracle, HANA, whatever it ends up being. And then the third method would be online sources. Power BI, for example, has a number of really kind of useful and cool tools for essentially for managing the online services that are out there. And, you know, for example, using QuickBooks, we provide a username, we provide a password, and in one click, we're essentially in that particular application, and that data will be dynamically and automatically downloaded to the Power BI service. If you're using QBO as an example, I mean, it's fantastic because, you know, you put in your username, you put in your password, instantly you have a dashboard of your company's financial information inside of Power BI coming automatically from Intuit with really kind of no work for you to do. The other benefit of that is you can use this side-by-side with QuickBooks application. It's not real-time, but it's semi-real-time. You know, it's going to update a couple of times throughout the day, and it's a great way to augment the reports that are inside of QuickBooks. Additionally, you can mash up that QuickBooks data with social media data, operational data, sales data, whatever you might need. And so you'd use Power BI essentially as that reporting tool inside your organization to really bring your data to life. Now, when we bring in data, it's not just about bringing in data. That data is not immediately useful. We have to relate it. We talked a little bit about data relation, both in our data course, episode 1, as well as in the first episode of Power BI. We talked about cardinality and different ways of cross-filtering. We're actually going to do some relations in this today as well. We'll talk a little bit about manipulating data with Power Query. We're not going to dive into that in crazy depth, just because I want to save Power Query for its own thing. It is my absolute favorite tool inside of Excel that's been introduced over the last couple of years. So I want to really kind of dive into that in future episodes. And we'll also talk a little bit about what it looks like to do manual data entry inside of Power BI as well. Now, we have a variety of sample files that are available to you. If you purchase today's class, you'll get copies of these. We're also going to make some of this available in our GitHub account for CP Today, where you can just download and try it out yourself. But we are going to be working with the widely popular sample data set, the Costco Sales data set. And I've made it available inside a couple of different formats, but we're going to be working with the Microsoft Access format, mostly just because it's easy and convenient for people to work with. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be importing in data from that database, and then we're also going to be importing in data from Microsoft Excel. And I've got a couple of sample files, the geography file as well as the stores file, and we're going to look at what it looks like to bring this data in and then be able to relate it, and then ultimately we'll create just a couple of simple charts and graphs from it. So we'll import in these files, I'll give you some best recommendations around this, and I'll give you a sense of what this might look like. Alrighty, let's go ahead and switch over to Power BI. Now, as of this recording, I am using the latest update of Power BI, which came out in April, you know, but as long as you're using any kind of recent version of Power BI, everything here should be supported. Power BI updates, not 100% monthly, but certainly very regularly, usually about every, 2 to 3 months or so, and sometimes more frequently than that. So here are our sample files that we're going to be working with, and I've also provided the two completed versions of this. It's PIPX files being the Power BI essential like binary. It's the Power BI file that has everything done. So if you want to skip ahead and just kind of see what it looks like, feel free to check those two items out. Okay, sorry, I'm looking at a separate monitor over here. Normally, I have got it right here in the middle, but we had some technical issues today, so I've got to use a separate monitor here for our work. Okay, so the way we get data into Power BI is primarily through importing in existing files, and I'm working here with just a blank Power BI workbook. And you can author, and we'll talk about what that looks like here in a minute, but Power BI is not intended to be an authorship tool. Power BI is intended to work with data sets that already exist, and it's intended to be able to report from that data, but it's not really intended to be something where you're going to do a lot of authorship yourself. As such, we import in our data or link our data. Now, for purposes of our discussion, because there are some technical differences between, you know, do you use direct query or the import method for Power BI? The direct query method, when we add our data to Power BI, means the data is not copied into the PIPX file. It's not copied into the actual file itself, but rather we are executing queries against that. The import method is where we actually import that data into Power BI, and it lives in that file and it lives locally. For the purposes of our discussion here today, just to make it simple, when I say import, I just mean adding data to Power BI. Just realize there are different methods, and I'll point out where and how you might use those different methods here. Now, the actual data side of this, in terms of adding our data into it, it's going to be from the Home tab. And from the Home tab, we've got, for example, right here under the data subgroup, variety of different data sources that are listed. Okay, and so from here, we can use the most common option is this Get Data button. And this Get Data button, when we go ahead and we click this, gives us the opportunity, for example, to be able to import our data in here. Now, unlike the Get Data button, which is inside of Excel as well, we have a lot of additional options that are not available inside of Excel, specifically if we come down here to this online services. Let's go ahead and take a look at this first, because I think this is one of the more unique things about Power BI that is worth noting. Now, some of these are available in Excel, like the Microsoft stuff. Yes, you can import a SharePoint list. Yes, you can import it from Exchange. But you can't, for example, if we come down here a little bit further, import stuff like Google Analytics directly into Excel. Nor can we do stuff, for example, like around QuickBooks or SmartSheet or others. What's really kind of cool about this is that Microsoft is continuously adding these connectors that allow you to be able to connect to your data dynamically. Okay. We'll look at more of these here in the future, but just to kind of illustrate how simple it is. Let's say, for example, we want to connect to QuickBooks Online. We'd select the QuickBooks Online connector. We go ahead and select this connect button. Okay. It's going to let us know it's preview, it's beta, you know, but I can tell you it's been here for like 3 years. So I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And what it does is it will essentially bring up a little connector thing here. We go ahead and select this sign in button. It's then going to ask us for our Intuit credentials, you know, and this is the same credentials that we would use to log into our QuickBooks account. And that's it. You know, we essentially put in our username and password, click sign in, and it just works, which is just fantastic for bringing in that financial data. Really kind of no fuss, no muss. It just imports in automatically. And it will continue to import in automatically too. We're skipping ahead a little bit here, but if we choose, for example, to publish over here to the Microsoft Power BI service, well, because that data is in QuickBooks Online to begin with, and that's in the cloud, and Power BI is natively in the cloud, well, guess what? That will automatically update for you with really kind of no additional work. So one of the distinguishing factors that I see it with respect to getting your data into Power BI is the fact that we do have these different online services. And there's a number of those that are listed in here as well. And it's kind of cool. You can check out, they've got stuff from Zoho, one of my favorite platforms and tools. They've got stuff from Asana, which is a fantastic project management solution, very simple project management solution. They've got Zendesk, which is useful, for example, for help desk and support. So if you wanted to, for example, pull in your QuickBooks data, which is going to show you sales and purchasing and cost and payroll, and pull in your Zendesk data, which is going to show you support and customer inquiries and things of this nature, you can mash them up next to each other and see that data side by side. What are people buying? And then also, what are the support issues that are coming in? And are these, like, for example, products or services properly priced? Or, you know, if I have a client, as an example, you know, that has 50 help desk tickets, I mean, am I making money? Is this an effective client to have? Or maybe we need to right size our pricing for it. Well, using Power BI, using these connectors, we can easily be able to pull in that data. Now, other connectors in here as well. We've got a bunch of Azure stuff. So if you're using Azure services, you can easily bring in that data as well. And they've also got their Power Platform too, which is a new product relative to the solution. And more on that is coming out in future updates as well. One quick point that I will point out to you that's kind of a hidden thing with respect to these connectors is that there are some experimental connectors that are being added, kind of like bleeding edge. If you come on over here to the file menu, and from the file menu, go ahead and select options and settings, options. This will go ahead and bring up the Power BI options for you here. And if you come down, there are some experimental options that you can choose to enable here. Let me see if I can find it. Preview features. There we go. Okay. And so these are features that have not made it into the like wide release yet. But what's nice about this is that you can also enable sometimes additional preview connectors for Power BI to, you know, kind of mess around. I mean, there might be some sort of new tool that's out there that isn't widely supported yet, but it might be a preview feature that could be included in a new release. You know, as some of the examples here that might be kind of cool, you know, JSON, JavaScript Object Notation, which is a web language. Well, guess what? We can use that interface. Likewise with Microsoft Tables and more. So it's kind of a cool, and this is, you know, stuff I will tell you in every single release, there's new preview features and only the best of the best makes itself into the actual application. Okay, so that's a little bit with respect to kind of how we would utilize some of these online connectors. Let's talk about our tried and true connectors, which are going to be our static and dynamic data sets. Okay. Now we've got files, which are going to show us our static files, you know, so for example, Excel, CSV, text files, and more. And we've got our XML, extendable markup language, JavaScript object notation. Okay. We can even point it to an entire folder where the folder might be kind of useful. Imagine you've got your master ledger of something. Let's just say it is accounts receivable. Okay. And so that master balance sheet reconciliation would have an accounts receivable balance sheet account there. And then you might have a subfolder in that that might have all your individual clients, you know, and where they stand with their own accounts receivable. Well, you could point it at that subfolder of just accounts receivable and suck up all of those spreadsheets that might be inside of that directory. So instead of having to import these in one by one, you can point it at a whole folder and suck up the whole folder of data. What's cool about this, you add a new folder, a new file, it would get included too the next time you refresh it. Or if you take out a file, it would get removed from the data set the next time you refresh it. Amazingly, you can even import in PDFs. I'll tell you, mileage will vary drastically for this, but I just tried this the other day just to see how well it worked, and I pointed it at an invoice, and the invoice was recognizable in the text in the sense that like I could select the text on the page, and sure enough, Power BI was able to pull the literal text out of a PDF file, which is traditionally very difficult, and I was able to manipulate it inside of Power BI. Maybe more on that on a future episode. Now, today we are going to be working with that Costco sample data set. And we've got two Excel files, and then we also have a database file. So we're going to import those Excel files in first, and then we're going to look at the database. But let's just take a quick look at the database formats that are natively supported inside of Power BI. So in terms of these native formats, pretty much every major one is going to be supported inside of here. We're going to be working with Access today, but Access is certainly not what I would consider a scalable or production database. Access is great for like small ad hoc projects, stuff that you just want to mess around and do, but you know, and stuff like this, you know, essentially we want to give you some sample files because you don't have to set up any macro level server stuff to support that database. But we have all our major formats listed in here, you know, from the Microsoft stuff to open source stuff such as MySQL and Postgres to kind of the more specific and industry stuff like SAP or Google or some of these other ones that are listed, including MariaDB, which is my personal favorite for databases. MariaDB, if you're not familiar with it, is a fork, meaning it is a separation of code from MySQL. MySQL was originally an open source independent project, became a product of Oracle about probably 8 years ago. Well, MariaDB is essentially the fork of that. It's fully cross-supported between MySQL and MariaDB. They work interchangeably with each other, but it's 100% open source and community supported. And if you've been watching any of these podcasts, you know how much I'm a big fan of open source software to begin with. Okay, now when you're going to be working with a lot of different sources, my general recommendation is you start with the easy stuff first and then you go ahead and you add the bigger, more complicated. So as such, we have two sample files that we're going to be working with today that are Excel based and then we have a database. Now the reason we want to do this is that because with how the import methods work, generally you want to add your later stuff that's bigger because it's just going to be faster and more responsive. You'll find sometimes, especially if you're running in the 32-bit version of Power BI, that it can hang if you import a bunch of stuff and then throw another database on top of it. So generally, logically think in your head, what's the big, what's the small, and try to import in the small and then go ahead and do the big. So we're going to import in our Excel files first. So we're going to go ahead and select Excel. And we're going to collect it, connect. And the way that we're going to do this is quite standard. And the sample files included, we have our DIM geography and DIM stores. Now, we talked a little bit about more about the prefixes of these files in the first episode. But just as a quick recap, we have DIM files and FACT files. DIM means dimensional. Dimensional data is stuff that we analyze in context to FACT files. Facts being things that have occurred, like an individual sale or an entrance or a payroll entry or a sales ledger or something of that nature. Dimensional data give facts context. And so we're going to go ahead and import in our stores and geography. We're going to go ahead and click OK. And it's going to connect to that stores files first here. And it is going to go ahead and give us a listing of the worksheets. Now, you are not limited to solely just working with a single worksheet. If you had multiple worksheets, you would see multiple worksheets listed in here, and you could choose whatever one is the most, you know, that you want to work with is that effective for you. We're going to go ahead and just select this top one here. It's going to go ahead and give us a preview. The one big recommendation that I would tell you with respect to working with spreadsheet data specifically, if you can, whenever possible, turn it into a table okay? Tables are kind of like quasi-databases inside of Excel. If you've never worked with a table before, check out our series on Microsoft tables and data modeling in CP Today. We've done 3 episodes on it, and I've got many more planned. It's also one of my favorite features inside of Excel. But man, will that make that more efficient for you. But if you're not going to use a table, absolutely 100%, I mean, stop, fix this before actually inputting this information in here. Make sure that your table or spreadsheet data at least has a header row, and preferably make sure that it has keys so that you can easily relate that data back. So we can see here is our DIMS stores worksheet. We see that it does have a nice header row, and we can go ahead and load this data in. We'll talk more about this in a minute, but notice there's also another button here, transform data. That loads Power Query. More on that here in a little bit. So we're going to go ahead and click load. That is going to connect Power Query, well, technically Power Query as well as Power BI to that file. And you'll see here it is loading that data in. And sure enough, if we look over here to our field section on the right, you will see that we now have a nice listing of stores and all the related columns from that workbook in our Power BI workbook. Okay, let's go ahead and add the other Excel file, which is going to be our geography file. Now to do this, we're going to come over here. We're going to go ahead and select Excel. And instead of stores, we're going to go ahead and select geography. We're just going to do that operation again here. So it's going to connect out. We're going to see that that geography is listed, and we're going to go ahead and select our load just like before, ensuring that we've got a header row here. It connects to that file, and just in a couple of seconds here, we see that file has been added. All right. Now, the next thing that we're going to go ahead is we're going to add that database. And to add the database, we're going to come back up here to our home tab in our data group and select get data. And then from here, we're going to go ahead and select, in this case, the Access database. Now, before I click the Access database, I do want to show you what it would look like to connect to a more production-ready or enterprise solution. Now, to connect, for example, to MS SQL or Oracle or MySQL or any of these other solutions, you really just need to know 3 things. Where the database is located, your authentication information, and then what database you want to use. A database server can have many databases inside of it. So you need to know which database you want. And if you had 3 or 4 databases that you wanted to work with, you'd end up having to map them in one at a time. So you need to know what data you want to work with. You need to know where that server is located. This would typically be a domain name, or it could be an IP address. Hopefully it's a domain name. And then you would also need to know what authentication information you would want. So it would ask you, for example, username and password. So that's all you would really need to use. It's not difficult. And if you don't have access to that information, the next phone call that you should be making would be to your IT service team and asking them essentially like, hey, can I get access to this database? Now for over here, we're going to go ahead and select Access database, and we're going to go ahead and point it at the Costco sales, which will then connect to that Access database and will present us with a number of tables. Tables are just basically spreadsheets, but for databases. And we're going to go ahead and select all of these. And as we click these off, you'll see a nice preview will pop over here in the right side. Okay. And we're going to go ahead and just select load here. And it will start to connect to this data. And you'll see table by table here, it starts to load this information in. Okay. It's creating the data model. And it is now essentially going and sucking down that data from those different positions. So we can see we brought in 4 sales channels. We brought in about 2,500 dates. If we come down here to our fact tables, this is the big one here. We could see that it is doing it relatively quickly. And one of the nice things about Power BI, we're really kind of only limited to the amount of memory we have on the machine. We can analyze millions and millions of rows of data really quickly. In fact, that's what we've done here. We've imported in about 10 seconds, 2.2 million rows of sales lines. Alrighty. So that's what it looks like to essentially bring in our data into Microsoft Power BI. And that's what it looks like essentially to be able to pull that data in. Now, the next bit of this is going to be relating that data, and I'll show you that here in a minute. But I do want to tell you about one other method that you can potentially use to get data into Power BI, and it is using the manual data option. Okay, so importing in manual data to Power BI should generally be discouraged, but on occasion you might need to do this. And it's pretty simple. Basically, from the Home tab there under the data, you'll see there's a data, enter data button. So you go ahead and you click that little button, and then you can go ahead and create your own defined table inside of Power BI. From there, you can populate it with data, and Power BI will treat it just like any other data table inside of the actual application. So it doesn't see a difference between the data that you manually put in versus spreadsheet data versus database data or whatever else. However, the one big caveat, and this is why I'm taking special attention to let you know about this and why I generally don't recommend it, is that once that data is put in using that enter data option, you cannot modify it. And that's increasingly difficult and frustrating. So generally, I recommend that if you do need to create something manual inside of Power BI, create a simple spreadsheet and then import it in just like any other resource. The reason being is that updating that spreadsheet is going to be a heck of a lot easier than using the replace values feature of Power Query to modify it. Now, where does that data actually live? Okay, well, or that functionality actually live? It is over here, and again, under the Home tab, you'll see this enter data. And then from here, this would be where we can go ahead and create a table and then ultimately create whatever values. So let's say we wanted to create, let's call it a store manager table. Okay, so that would be our store manager. Maybe over here we have our store key. Okay, and then we're going to go ahead and create a store manager name key. Okay, so for store one, let's just go ahead and say that is Winston the Pooh. Our head of accounts retrievable. And let's say store two would be Steve Yass. There we go. We're going to go ahead and click that load, and you'll notice on the right-hand side here under our fields section that it will now create that store manager table. And in fact, now that we can go ahead and manipulate it. So that's how we enter manual data in. Generally, I would tell you to discourage from using it. Now, one last thing I do want to point out, we're not going to cover it today, is that Power Query functionality. And I just again want to draw your attention to that button when you're going to load your data in, right here where it says transform. That little button, man, does it have so much power inside of it. And when we click that transform button, you'll notice it will pop up a new window. And this is really where we can go and modify anything about this. We can transform the data, we can transpose it, reverse it, we can pivot it, we can unpivot it. The power of this functionality honestly cannot be understated. It deserves its own podcast, and we're going to go ahead and do it just on that. And this functionality is the same between Power BI and Excel, and in my opinion, truly just one of the best features and functions of the service. So more on that in the future. I just wanted to mostly point it out where that is. I'm going to go ahead and delete those, the sample one that we created here, the second stores entry. And I'm also going to go ahead and delete our stores manager table, that manual channel data that we created here, just because we're not going to need it later on in our presentation. All right. So we're going to go ahead and close that here. We'll apply these changes, and there we go. Okay. So let's go ahead and have a first review question for the day. Alrighty. Which of the following are true about Power Query? Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about Power Query here. It is a data transformation and data preparation engine inside of Excel. Absolutely. You could do anything with it. You can transform data. You can prepare data. It is like a preprocessor for getting your data in whatever shape and form you need it to be in, so that when you go to actually work with that data, it's ready to go. It's all the manual stuff that you would normally do when you exported a report from a system, like adding columns, deleting columns, splitting columns, you know, cleaning it up, putting it into the right order. Power Query will do all of that, and it will essentially remember those steps so that when you refresh that data in the future, it just knows exactly what to do. Power Query is shared functionality with Excel. Absolutely. Whether you're using it in Power BI or Excel, the functionality is the same. It can be used to extract, transform, and load or ETL data from dozens of different sources. Absolutely, it can totally do that. The correct answer here is all of the above. And it is truly one of my absolute favorite tools. And it is the go-to, really kind of for any sort of manipulation of data, whether it be in Excel or Power BI. All right, back to our regularly scheduled program. And let's talk about our next step of this, about getting data inside of Power BI. And this is the part that I think most people get screwed up on, which is the relationships, okay? When we're working with Power BI, it's a quasi-database. It's not 100% a database, but it's also not a database either. And a big component of this is the relational data model. And again, if you're, this is a new term for you, check out episode 1 of our databases course. I go into depth talking about what the relationship is. But if you can understand and work with this concept that makes sense to you, databases will just naturally fall into play. It is the core principle behind how databases work. It's this idea that we can have stuff in different places, and then we can ultimately create relationships between them that will show the flow of data and allow those things to be mapped into each other. But it allows us not to repeat ourselves. It allows us to be able to scale our data very effectively. And frankly, this is the correct and best way of organizing data. Lots of different ways to build databases. I've spent years and years and years and years on this. And I will tell you that with the base understanding of databases, you can understand the principles of it, I would say, in about a week or so, and probably even less than that, you know. But to master this, to truly understand, I mean, it takes years and years of experience. But you can be effective very, very quickly. My dear friend and business partner, Alex White, is the database master, you know, and the difference between our knowledge set is infinite, because he could look at a problem, he could look at a project and instantly know the best way of being able to organize that data effectively for today, but also as that data grows. And a big piece of this is understanding the table design, understanding where different pieces need to live, and then ultimately how it relates together. Now, inside of Power BI, we are going to go ahead and create some relationships by dragging and dropping fields into each other. And what's fantastic about this is that Power BI, for the most part, will figure out a lot of this on its own. If it's a reasonably well-designed data source that you're working with, if you're importing in a database, it is going to figure out and relate a majority of this. And in this instance, we're only going to have to relate one or two small things. Let's go ahead and switch back over here to Power BI and take a look at what that might look like. Now, as a reminder, there are three different views inside of Power BI that we need to be familiar with. There is our report view, there is our data view, and then there is our relationship view. Okay, and let's go ahead and maybe make this so we can see everything in here. This is a graphical way of doing it. True database masters can do this in their head. They can do it through text. But what's nice about Power BI is that we can essentially just do this visually, and it should, for the most part, make sense. Now, what way I like to organize my data is I like to take what is the main bit of information. In this case, we're dealing with sales. So this would be that fact sales table. And what I like to do is I like to put it front and center of my actual data. And then I like to visually move the other data objects around it so that I can essentially see the flow of information. Now, this is a great example because Power BI has figured out, for the most part, where everything goes and how different things are related. So it is doing a lot of the heavy lifting for us without really kind of any fuss or muss on our side. So let's go ahead and make this a little bit cleaner, a little bit more organized, and it should start to make a little bit more sense to us. All righty. Okay. And let's move this over a little bit, give ourselves a little bit more room. Alrighty. And so we can essentially see here how all these different things fit together. Okay. And let's just go ahead and zoom in a little bit more. Okay. So that we can see here, the little arrow is showing us the relation of the direction of the data. The little one tells us if it's a one to one relationship, one to many. The little asterisk tells us it's a many. So in this particular instance, what this tells us is that a sale, the data is flowing from the stores to the sales table. That's the direction of the arrow. And this is a one to many, meaning a sale will only have one store, but a store will have many sales. over here, if we look over here, for example, stores to entity, we see this as being a one-to-one, meaning a store will only have one entity and an entity will only have one store. So we can tell us that, you know, that data is relatively simple in terms of how it's organized. Likewise, over here, we have our geography. This is a one-to-many, meaning a store will only have one geography entry. You know, a store can't physically be in two different places at the same time, but a geography could have many stores. And in fact, if we think about retail, that's quite common. Now, we have one table that we need to relate here, and all we're going to have to do is we're going to look and we're going to try to find where the commonality is. So we have our date key over here. And if we scroll around, we will see there is, in fact, a date key on this other table. Now, what we want to do is just go ahead and pick up date key and drag it over to the other one. Doesn't matter if you go from one to the other, it will figure it out. And you can always adjust it if it gets it wrong by just double clicking that relationship. And you can figure out the filtering direction if need be. Now, the best practice of this is really essential. Everything should be touching at least one other thing. You should never have, when you're working with Power BI, let's just go ahead and delete that relationship here. You should never have a table just kind of cruising out here on its own. That will cause you problems. Everything has to relate to everything. And what's amazing about this is that by doing this, we can pull data in any direction. So if I want to pull sales data in the context of date data, in the context of product data, guess what? I can do that, and I can do that relatively simply. Now, we're going to go into this in further in future episodes, but this is essentially what it looks like to get our data into Power BI. And once our data is imported into Power BI, once that it is related in Power BI, guess what? Then we can switch back over here to our dashboard view. And as a simple example here, we could start to create, for example, a report that might be very meaningful to us, you know? So we can go ahead and we could start to create, for example, dashboard reports that are useful. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about different reporting options and what it looks like to create bar charts and column charts and scatter plots and maps and graphs. So I'm going to save that for a future podcast. But this central thing of importing in the data, getting the data related, this is the thing that holds people up. And this is the thing that holds people back from being able to effectively leverage this tool. So if this makes sense to you and this works for you, you are well on your way from mastering the Power BI. And if not, I would definitely recommend you take some time, critically think about this, understand how databases work, understand how the relational data model works, because this, in my opinion, is a showstopper. If you don't have this understanding of how this effectively operates, it's only going to cause problems further down the road for you. You've got to understand this piece. Alrighty, let's go ahead and have another review question, and then we will look at the second half of our presentation today, which is DAX, Data Analysis Expressions. Okay, which of the following data sources cannot be used inside of Power BI? Okay, so can we use spreadsheets? Absolutely. That is not, we could totally use spreadsheets inside of Power BI, whether they be Excel, CSV, or any pretty much any other format. Can we use PDFs? Amazingly, yes. I mean, as long as the PDF is well-structured, mileage will vary, as I mentioned. But yes, you can use a PDF inside of Power BI, as well as in Excel. Databases, absolutely. And that is really where Power BI shines. So the correct answer here is images. You cannot use images inside of Power BI, but I'll give you a quick hack. Go ahead, turn that image into a PDF, and guess what? You can. But again, I wouldn't do it that way. That would not be my first choice with respect to working with data. Alrighty, let's go ahead and take a look at our next section for today, which is going to be utilizing DAX, and we're going to be specifically looking at calculated columns and calculated measures. Okay, now DAX is Data Analysis Expression, and it is a library of functions and operations that combined together we can use to build formulas and other analysis for Power BI. We can use it for SQL analysis servers, Power Pivot, Excel, data models, and more. It is definitely a more premium, higher end way of manipulating data inside of our workbooks, whether we're using the Power Pivot or trying to manipulate data inside of Power BI. And in fact, if you're using Power Pivot or you're using Power BI and you need to do a formula, frankly, this is your only choice. You have to do it this way. The normal Excel formulas like lookup, index and match, stuff like that, do not work when we're working with data models inside of Excel, and they do not work in Power Pivot either. So it's our formula language for manipulating data inside of data models. And if you're using Power Pivot in Excel, this is the exact same language. Now, DAX is this library. It's not nearly as robust. There are, I don't know off the top of my head, but several hundred, if not 1,000 different functions inside of Excel. VLOOKUP, index and match, some ifs, so on and so forth. DAX is a subset. I mean, it is nowhere near as large. It's about 250 functions that are listed. But, you know, for what it lacks, let's say in size and scope, it makes up for power. And it is a very effective and powerful way to manipulate large quantities of data. A lot of these formulas, for example, will resemble Excel formulas, but the way that we use them are a little bit different. And it is also the... there's going to be some similarities between them, but they will be different ultimately. Now, if you're looking for more information about this, check out our K2 website, k2e.fyi, DAX functions, for some really good walkthroughs and a listing of a lot of different DAX functionalities that you can use. So some of these functions inside of DAX are going to be the same. For example, we can use the average function, the count function, the min, the max, the product, and the sum, all our basic arithmetic functions. Good news, they work identically in DAX as they do inside of Excel. However, there are some where the intention and the output is the same, but the way they work are different in terms of they've got a different syntax, they've maybe got a little bit of a different name that we should be aware of. For example, inside of Excel, when we want to take a value and format it in text, you know, so if I take a number, for example, and I want to format it as a specific calendar way, you know, where it says maybe the full date of like April 30th, 2020, well, I would do that through the text function. Well, text doesn't exist in DAX. We instead use the format function. Some ifs, you know, if we're trying to, for example, conditionally add things together based off of a criteria, you know, where the department or the salesperson, the location, well, we would use some ifs inside of Excel. In DAX, we would use the calculate function. If we wanted to choose and between different values inside of Excel, we'd use the choose function. In DAX, we would instead use the switch function. Confusingly, there's also switch inside of Excel too, so just be aware they're not the same thing. Now, a question I get asked often is, well, Steve, how do I look up things between different tables inside of Power BI? Well, you don't use VLOOKUP. Instead, you use the related function. And the big difference is that when we are manipulating data inside of Power BI, we are doing it across the entire data set. We're doing it across all columns. With VLOOKUP, you know, I could essentially look up something and then the next row down, I could do a slightly different formula, you know, so I could say, oh, you know, look up column A on row one, but then I could write a different formula for row two and I could tell it to look at a different column if need be. I can't do that in DAX. DAX works across the entire column of whatever information we're working with. So if we manipulate a value, we manipulate all values. Now, where DAX is most commonly used inside of Power BI is in two different methods. We have what are called calculated columns, and we have what are called calculated measures. Okay? Now, a calculated column is when we want to do a calculation, and we want that calculation to appear at every row of the data. So this will make more sense here in a minute, but when we do a calculated column, it's essentially creating a new column in the actual data itself, and then it will create a value at every single row. So let's go ahead and take a look at that, what this might look like, and switch over here back over to Power BI. Okay, so we're in the sample file DAX average revenue, if you'd like to try that out. Alternatively, we do have the data in its raw format available. So if you want to go through the full effort of creating a blank workbook, go ahead and import in that DAX data for data DAX calculations, and you can try it from there. Let's switch over to our table data. Alrighty, so In this particular example, we have just some sample data. This looks to be both in terms of hours as well as revenue. Maybe this is a billing spreadsheet for our company. And so we have our trans-date, our region, our account category, so on and so forth. In this one, we want to create a formula that will essentially give us the average revenue per hour of time. So essentially we want to, you know, divide these two things together to get an average revenue. Now to create that, again, from our data view, we're going to want to do it from here. You'll see up here under calculations, you'll see you have an option that says new column. And when we select this, it adds a new column to our data as we see here. And then up top, we'll see column equal. Now, for this to work, what we're going to go ahead and do is we're first going to title this column, and we're going to call this title average rev, and then we're going to go ahead and do an equal sign, and we're going to go ahead and write this out. Now, the DAX function here is nice, thankfully, will be auto-completed for us, and some of these, in this particular instance, these are very similar to existing Excel formulas, so this should seem pretty easy for you, and it's a great way to start getting ourselves acquainted with what you can do. So we're going to go ahead and type that round function out. And what can be your best friend here is the tab. Tab will auto-complete this for us. So we're going to go ahead and round. In this case, we're using the data one data source. And for those of you who are familiar with tables inside of Excel, this syntax should start to look pretty familiar. When we're working with data and data modeling inside of Excel, tables inside of Excel, we always use square brackets. And so you'll start to see that here. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and type in data one to get our data source. So we're going to tell it, hey, I want you to use this data. And you'll see over here, data one is our data source. And we're going to go ahead and use a square bracket. And we're going to go ahead and say net revenue like that. And then very simply, we're going to tell it to divide it by. And this is something also where people get screwed up. Remember, you have to declare what data source you're using. So instead of just saying hours, we need to make sure that we type again data one and we type in hours. And the reason we do that is because revenue might be on one table, hours might be on another table, and we could tell it to use data from two different places, but we always want to use fully qualified data source names when we're working. Okay, we're just going to go ahead and hit enter here. Oops, I think I already got one listed. So let's just call this one average rev one. Okay. And apparently it is, oh God, I forgot to put in a comma too. All right, Steve. I remember my first Power BI data set. Okay. The thing I screwed up on is that the argument for round requires how many digits you want to round to. So we're going to tell it to round to two here, and then we'll execute that. And now, sure enough, we do get that average column. So in this particular instance, you'll see here that this is now the average revenue generated on this. The big takeaway from a calculated column, notice there is this value that is calculated for every row of the data. Okay, it's not a static value. It's not looking at all the data simultaneously. It calculates it for row 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to the bottom. Now, sometimes we want that. Sometimes, for example, we want to include the value per row because that might be what the visualization requires in terms of what we're working with, or we might want to be able to drill in on a table and see that line by line. Now, the opposite of this would be the other method, which is a calculated measure. Okay. So a calculated measure is a single calculation. Okay. So it's like when we do a formula stored in a specific cell in a traditional workbook that, like, for example, sums column C, or, you know, takes column C and divides it by column E, and it gives us a number. So this would be great if we wanted to summarize, for example, total sales, total payroll, whatever we choose to use with this. Now, the measures themselves are just essentially just giving us that one static value. And when we create a calculation for this, what we're doing here is that we're doing it across the whole data set. And instead of having it per row, we're given a single number. So we're going to take a look at this right now, and we're going to go ahead and do that average revenue calculation again, but we're going to do it as a measure instead. So to create that calculated measure, we're going to go back over here to our data table, and we can either from the, let's see, we can either do it from the table tools, select new measure, or you can just right click on that and select new measure as well. Okay. Now, it looks identical in terms of the configuration, just like the calculated column, but we're going to go ahead and just calculate it a little bit different. So we're going to go ahead and say, and I'm going to call this one average revenue 3, like this, equals, and we're going to go ahead and sum. Okay. The reason we want to sum here is because we have to work in a column's entirety. So we're going to use the sum function. Okay. This is a example of a DAX function that is identical to its Excel counterpart. We're going to use the fully qualified location. So we're going to say data 1, and we're going to go ahead and say our net revenue column here. Okay. And we're going to close our sum function. So telling it essentially order of operations here, sum everything in that net revenue. And then we're going to go ahead and divide it by the sum, open parentheses here, data 1, okay, our hours column, alrighty, and there we go. We're going to go ahead and hit enter here, and that in fact gives us a new calculated measure. And you're not going to see anything pop up, but let's go ahead and switch over here real quick, and let's go ahead and pull our average revenue by sector here, and instead let's pull our average rev 3 in. Okay. And let's go ahead and turn this into a card. There you go. So what that number, that 212.20, what that represents is the sum of all revenue divided by the sum of all hours. So the difference between that calculated column gives us a value per row. Measure instead just does a calculation based off of what we've done. It's like a discrete Excel function. So that is across the whole data set versus when we look at our calculated column. In this case, it's by day, by product, by region, by whatever we happen to work with. It's not that one is better than the other or more useful than the other. They're just different. And sometimes you need a screwdriver, and sometimes you need a hammer, and sometimes, you know, you need a table saw. You just pick the tool that works best for what you're using. All right, so we're coming to the end of our presentation for today. Let's go ahead and have our final review question. If I wanted to create a calculation that provided a value for every row of data, which method would be best? Okay, would it be a calculated measure? The answer is no. That does it across the whole data set. Would it be a calculated item? No, that is something we use inside of Excel instead when we want to do a calculation inside of a pivot table. Calculated items do not exist in Power BI. Would it be a calculated column? You betcha. That's what we would use when we wanted to create a value per row. And none of the above, no. The correct answer here is calculated column. Alrighty, so that does bring us to the end of our presentation for today. We had a great day today to celebrate our full day of the CPE Today podcast. We did a deep dive on how to import in data into Power BI. And then we also kind of talked about some different methods and introduced this idea of DAX. Now, in future courses in this series, I want to take a deeper dive into DAX. I feel that it is something that not enough people know how to use, and it really is the thing around the corner that I feel like if you're not learning it today, 5 years from now, maybe even sooner than that, it's going to bite you. So we're going to take a deep dive into DAX, doing different manipulations inside of Power BI, and that knowledge is going to be useful not only for Power BI, but also for Excel and Power Pivot as well. And we're also going to start looking at how to do different dashboard designs. And we're going to talk about how to create different types of charts, graphs, filtering, and doing different analytics inside of it. There is no shortage of topics within Power BI. And in my opinion, it is the tool that if you're not learning today, will be a problem in the future. Because in my opinion, it is the gold standard when it comes to business intelligence. It's that good. Well, I do want to remind you that if you are a financial professional, you can earn a credit for listening to today's podcast or watching this video on YouTube, Facebook, or wherever else you happen to be consuming it. And, you know, we all have to keep up on our education, myself included, and keeping a credit going every week or so can make the difference between having to struggle at the end or just not having to think about it. And what a great way to stay on top of that by listening to podcasts. So if you like today's material and you'd like a credit, it's very simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code PBI2. You'll take a short 5-question quiz about what you heard and what you listened to or what you watched today, and you will earn a credit for today's presentation. Additionally, with your purchase, you will also get access to the learning materials, including the sample files that I'm talking about here today. And if you got some questions about stuff, I would love to be able to answer them. So head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code PBI2, and take a quick exam and earn some credits. If you like today's material, please feel free to connect with us on LinkedIn and let us know what you think. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and others. Almost all social medias we can be found as at CPE Today. We'd love for you to leave a comment or a review if you like our content. Now, we do present our podcast twice a week live, at least we try to, on most weeks, Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 o'clock Pacific. But I want to remind you, you can listen to our podcast on your schedule. You can find the CPE Today podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, and others. We'd love for you to subscribe. Leave us a comment or a like. Every little bit helps. It's been my sincere pleasure, and I appreciate you for attending for today's podcast. Lots more great material coming in the horizon, so please consider subscribing and staying tuned. Thank you for your time and attention. I wish you the best. Have a great rest of your day.